have to worry about being orphans anymore. Amen. We were orphans to sin, were we not? We were orphans to the world. We were orphans to our own flesh. We were orphans to everything that was not of God. But God said, you know what? I know that one right there because I've known that one since the beginning of time. Therefore, I'm going to adopt her into my family. I was like, thank you, Lord. I don't have to run around like an orphan anymore. In Ephesians, the second chapter, the 11th through the 14th verse, it says, therefore remember that formerly you who were Gentiles by birth and called uncircumcised by those who call themselves the circumcision, which is done by the in the body by human hands. Remember that at that time, you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For him, he himself is our peace. He himself is our peace. Amen. I had a friend, a good friend who was adopted. And this passage of scripture made me very aware of the fact that God adopted us into his family. She searched, y'all ever heard of a place called Nuyaka? Nuyaka, Oklahoma? It's over there by Okmulgee. That's where her family came from. She was adopted at the age of 2, I do believe it was. And at the age of 71 or 72, she found her family, which had been here in Tulsa the whole time. And you're talking about a family reunion. It was glorious. Even though her mother was gone and her father was gone, they helped her to remember who her parents were. They just took her in because she was the oldest child. She was given up at the age of at birth. Because at that time, they couldn't take care of her. And she found out she had quite a few sisters and brothers. And they were stayed with the family, but she was adopted out. She was my first grade teacher's daughter. And I'll never forget her. I remember we went looking for her people. And we found out they were from the, they had grown. She had been in a place called Nuyaka, and then we drove all around trying to find this place. Let me tell y'all, we was all in the back hills. I was like, Dina, you sure about this? You want to? She said, "Oh, Kara, yeah, let's go on." And so we found out that the place that she was at, Nuyaka, was named after New York. And the Indian tribe that took that little city back named it Nuyaka because they couldn't say New York. It's Nuyaka, so that's the name of the city. And but she was glad to find that place and find her family. So when we realize we are adopted into the family of God, how glad are we that he's adopted us into his family? I have an adopted grandson. He's not here right now, but let me read this to you. It said, I once heard a story about a little boy who found out that he was adopted. He had been part of this family for years before he overheard children teasing him about because they knew he was adopted. With tears streaming down his face, he ran to his mother, and with gut-wrenching sobs, he cried that he was adopted. He couldn't understand that his mother wasn't his real mother and that his father wasn't his real father. The mother lovingly wiped the tears from his face, took his face between her hands, and looked him in the eye and said to him, "Even though I have other children, I had no choice in how I might or might not love them, but I chose to love you." And that love is special. It's a special love given to a special child. You know, that's what God did with us. He wiped our tears away and said, "Oh, you know, I chose you. I didn't have to, but I chose you to be part of my family." And as being part of his family, that little boy that Davon adopted, I'm telling you, he gets all the love, and he ends up being my youngest grandson, but he gets all the love that he did not receive from his parents. So he knows that he's loved because he was chosen. He was chosen by them because God already placed them in their lives, and they chose to love him in spite of, regardless what his background is, regardless of what he does, he's been chosen by them to love. I used to think adopted people were special because they had someone that chose them to be part of their family. I used to think that the inheritance received was something special. And I also thought that the extra love lavished on such people was enviable. Now, because God chose to love me, despite my desperate situation, despite my ups and downs, despite what I've gone through, what I'm going through, God chose to love me. So I'm special. And so are you. Now, I know you're not as special as I am, but I am. I'm special. I told you, I'm his spoiled child. I don't mind being his spoiled child. The definition of adoption is the act of taking something on as your own. Adoption usually refers to the legal process of becoming a non-biological parent. It also refers to the act of embracing ideas, habits, or free kittens, or puppies, whichever one comes first. That's an adoption. The doctrine of adoption is the teaching that man is adopted by God into the family of God. Adoption is the gracious and merciful right, John 1:12 says, bestowed upon unworthy sinners through which a person is given admission into God's family. You're given admission into his family. Not only that, you get to live in his house. He already got a house for you. You know, parents like to leave a legacy for their children. They leave them a house and they leave them all this stuff and inheritance. Well, God has already given us that. He's also given us a home. He's given us a place to stay. Adoption is a process by which some special considerations are needed. You must look at two aspects of the adoption process. First, there's the adoptee. That's us. The one who needs. The one who has a need. The needs of someone to provide care and love that they are missing in their lives. Through whatever circumstances life throws their way. Look at verse 11. It says, therefore remember, formerly you were Gentiles by birth and called uncircumcised by those who call themselves the circumcision, which is done in the body by human hands. In other words, the Hebrews were called the circumcised. You remember they used to call people that were not circumcised, uncircumcised, heathens, Gentiles, you know. That remember David said, how can this uncircumcised, Philistine, uncircumcised. So he has no right to say anything to God's people who are circumcised, you know. How can he make fun of God's people like this? How can you let him? Adopted children of God, for us to allow people to talk about the God who loved us enough to adopt us. What is that saying about our love for the person that adopted us? What is that saying about your love for God who says, I'm not going to let you stay in that filth any longer. I'm going to take you and clean you up and make you my child. What does that say about us as if we allow people to go around and talking nonsense and crazy stuff and cursing in our Father's name in our presence and we say nothing? What does that say about us? Are we unappreciative? Did we not look at the papers? When he signed his name in blood, Jesus wrote our name down. How can we, as the adopted of Christ, as the adopted of God, how can we not show appreciation? First, there's the adoptee. That's the one who has the need. The needs of someone who will provide the care and love that they are missing in their life. That's what they need. Through whatever circumstances life throws their way. And life throws a lot of circumstances our way. I know. I'm talking about 75 years. Am I 75 or 74? Oh, thank you, Pastor. I'm trying to give myself an extra year. Yes, I thank God for each one of those years. But out of 74 years, there have been ups and downs. There have been curves. There's been mud. There's been dirt. There's been unlove. There's been abuse. There's been everything you could think to throw my way. It stuck. Somebody throw mud at you, it'll stick. You know, even if it doesn't stay on you, it'll leave a stain. Am I right? So all of that was thrown at me, God says, I'm going to clean all of that off. Watch me take my blood, the blood of my son, and dip you in it. And you're going to come out white as snow. Just like you had bleach. This is the Holy Ghost bleach that you're going to be dipped in. Right? And so the stain had to leave. And that's what an adoptee is looking for. Someone to remove the stains from their life. We were orphans and uncircumcised and unloved, alone in our sin and shame, separated from a loving God through our sin, excluded from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers to the covenant of promise, having no hope without God in our world. No hope. No hope. Are we not living in a world now with no hope? We have hope, but the world is living in a place of no hope. And it's up to us to show them that there is hope in Christ Jesus. There is no other way that they can have hope except through Jesus Christ. Amen? If you've ever been to an orphanage, the first thing you notice, some children, it's hopelessness that they will never be loved or rescued from their present condition. Yet the word of God assures us that while we were still sinners, God gave us his only son to die on the cross for our sins, thereby adopting us into his family, giving us hope and a future. That's what he gave us. He tells us that in Jeremiah 11:29. I come to give you a hope and a future. I'm not going to let you just be out there by yourself. Okay, that's the adoptee. Then there's the adopter. The one who asks to provide the care and love that is much needed in the orphan's life. God not only became our Father, but he also became our Jehovah Jireh. He reminds us that we are his creation. We are wonderfully made by his hands. It is his desire that we are prosperous because that is what he wants his children to be. We begin to take on his characteristics because the more we hang around him, the more we look like it. Now, that's so true. If you didn't know that my grandson was adopted, you'd swear that was at your child because he looked just like me. Right? The more you hang around him, the more you look like him. Amen? God wants us to look like him because he's our Father. What father doesn't want his kids to look like him? I look over there at Sean, sitting over there on the corner. Look just like his daddy. Right? I look at my children, I see their father's features in their face, and I'm like, oh, wow. You're supposed to look like your parents. Yeah. We don't want to look like Satan because he's not our parent. He didn't make us. He didn't keep us. He didn't adopt us. What he does is try to destroy us because he hates us because we look like our father. Amen. And the more you look like him, the more he hates you. And the more he hates you, the more he tries to do to you. But I'm so glad God gave us some peace that surpasses all understanding. He gave us joy that the world can't take. Satan can't take it. You think he can? He can't. You got to give up your peace and your joy. You got to give it up. He can't just take it away from you because he didn't give it to you. The joy of the Lord is our strength. And when I'm going through, I just say, the joy of the Lord is my strength. I keep my joy. I gave my joy away one time. Long time ago. And you know what? I said I would never do it again because I thought it was taken from me. God said, Gary, you gave that away. I didn't give it to you to give away. I gave it to you to keep because it's for you. And so when I got my joy back, I got my peace back, I got my strength back. It didn't matter what I was going through. I had the joy of the Lord. And the joy of the Lord is my strength. Amen. Hallelujah. The adopter. Who is our adopter? Our adopter is God, our Father. He adopted us. We have an adopted brother. His name is Jesus. We have an adopted spirit that lives inside of us, the Holy Spirit. Now, we're walking around with all of this. How can we not have hope? How can we not love? How can we not honor the Father that adopted us? He gives us a command. We need to obey it. He said, love one another as I have loved you. That's what Jesus told me. A new command I leave you. How do we love one another? Well, I'm gonna give you an invitation today. We have an intercessory prayer group that meets on the phone on Tuesdays and Fridays. Amen? We need to pray for each other. If you want to show love to one another and care about one another, get on the prayer line from 11 to 12 and pray for each other. We need to pray for each other. I need to pray for your concerns, your needs, just like you need to pray for mine. That's what we do for people that we love. We thought that we'd never be rescued from a hopeless condition, but God rescued us. God came and got us while we were still in our mess. You go to the orphanage, you pick up a child, that child has what they have, and that's it. You don't know what condition the clothes are in. You don't know what condition their bodies are in, because a lot of them come there battered, abused, broken. And God said that we're supposed to take care of the orphans and the widows. That's what our job is. If we're not on our job, it's because we didn't want to be. It wasn't because God didn't allow us. God gives us everything we need to work with to do the job that he's given us. Everything. So if you don't think that I don't have the money, I don't have the time, I don't have the place. Let me tell you, if you have a place to live in, you got a place. If you have money to buy yourself some food, you got money to help someone that's in need. Amen? God provides everything we need. Everything. The desire comes from us. I have a desire to serve God and to do what he told me to do. God gave his only son for us. What are we going to give for him? We just did our communion. And as we did our communion, I thought about the fact that Jesus sacrificed himself for me. His blood washed me clean. His body tells me that I don't have to be suffering because he wasn't sick a day in his life. So therefore, when I eat the flesh of Jesus, I'm eating health unto myself. I'm eating healing to myself. Amen. We forget about the fact that we just think it's a piece of bread crumb and some juice, and we're good. No, you got to realize what that represents. And when you realize what it represents, your faith in what God says, it makes all the difference in your body, makes all the difference in your healing, makes all the difference in your conversion, makes all the difference in your salvation, makes all the difference in how you act. It makes all the difference in who you are. Thank you, Lord. So I've been an orphan. And I've been adopted by the Most High God. He wants us to be prosperous. That's his desire. Not to reach to the, we don't want you to be Elon Musk. Because that's a waste of money and a waste of all God has allowed him. I'm sure you're getting political here. Calm it down. Bring it back. Draw it back. But God allowed. Listen, I don't see anybody in here starving. If y'all are looking like me, you need to lose some weight. You need to lose, drop a couple of pounds here and there, but you're not starving. And if you are starving, you can go without a couple of meals. Amen. Fast and pray. Yes. Hallelujah. You can do that. God wants to provide for us everything good. What parent wants to give their children something bad? What parent, if the child asks for some bread, would give them a snake? Huh? No. No, that's not what God raised us to be. We're supposed to be in his image. And his image tells us we love our children. And we do what we can to protect them. We do what we can to love them. We do what we can to provide for them. We do what we can to make a place for them. We do what God has provided for us to do for our children. Amen? And God does the same for us. He does it for us. We don't recognize it a lot of times, but we need to recognize that God is our provider. He is our Jehovah Jireh. He is our Jehovah Rapha. He's our healer. He's our keeper. He's our Jehovah Nisi. He's our banner. He's everything that we need. He's Jehovah Shammah, our peace. He's everything we need. And he gives it to us freely. The only cost was the cost Jesus paid on the cross. You get it free. We get it free. But Jesus paid the price for it. Hallelujah. The more we hang around him, the more we look like him. There's nothing worse than to see somebody going around and, who is that I heard? Oh, Sister Simon says, it's all right, everything in here is fine until we get outside those doors. Get outside those doors is like, did you ever know that you was a child of God? Oh, you walked out the door, but this, you know, his place is all over. It's not just in this building. This whole world belongs to him. Everything in it, he made. He made you and he made me. And he made us fearfully and wonderfully in his image. So if you're in the image of God, then you need to act like you belong to him. Now, there's a peace we didn't have before. It says, God made available not only the right to be called his children, but to receive all the inheritance due them. So how does he do this? And the 13th verse, it says, but now in Christ Jesus, you were formerly were far have been brought near by the blood of Christ. Let me read that again. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near by the blood of Jesus Christ. We've been brought near to him. There's nothing like nearness. My granddaughter and her mom, they get on my nerve. No. She's always all on her mom, just touching her, just to feel her presence. Amen? And guess what? Her son does the same thing to his teacher. She said to get on my nerves. No, but when there's a touch element that goes on, then when you're close to someone and you feel that touch, it gives you comfort, 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 sister, comfort. It gives us comfort, right? When someone that you love or someone that loves you touches you, there's a feeling of peace, safety, comfort, love, you know? Because that's what God poured into us is love. He poured his love into us, did he not? So it should be seeping out of you somewhere, because God always gives you more than enough. Doesn't he? So it should be seeping out of your pores. So every time you open your mouth, the love of God should show through. Every time you look at someone, the love of God should be seen. Every time you come into contact with someone, they should feel the love of God. Amen. So thank you, Father, for adopting me into that spirit of love. I've been brought near to Christ Jesus through his blood. Amen. Now, there's a peace we didn't have before. When you know that you belong to the Most High God, there's a peace that surpasses all understanding, knowing that you belong. When you know that you belong, that's why I want to look at verse 10. Look at verse 10. It says, of that same chapter. I'm going to read that in just a second here. My pages are sticking together. But it says, for we are God's handiwork. I like the way it said in King James, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. God prepared in advance for us to do so, to walk in his good works. Amen. So anywhere else you're walking wrong. Not walking in the path. He said in his word, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. So every time you take a step, it should be a light. So you should never walk in darkness. Amen? You should never be walking in darkness. The word of God will light your way, will light your path. And God will keep you in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on him. Amen. There may be someone out there that didn't recognize the fact that God had adopted them or wants to be adopted by God. So in Romans 10, verses 9 and 10, it says, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Is that a period after that? That's not a comma, is it? It's a period. That means that statement is complete. Because it's with the mouth that you confess. And it's with your heart that you believe. And you're justified. Your faith is justified. And you are saved. So don't let anybody tell you you got to run around the church and jump over pews and do all kind of crazy stuff to be saved. That's not what God said. He didn't say that in his word at all. You got to speak in tongues. He said, no, that's not what Jesus said. It's not what the word of God said. If the word of God didn't say it, don't believe it. It's simple. If God didn't say it, don't believe it because it's a lie. And we know that God gives us the truth. And the truth will set us free. Hell lost another one. I am free. Because the truth will set you free. So if you need to know, if you want to know this Savior we're talking about, the one that will clean you, the Father that will keep you, the Father that will provide for you, the Father that wants to adopt you into his family, I give you this opportunity. And I'm going to ask everybody to close their eyes. And we're going to go to the Lord in prayer. Father in heaven, I thank you for who you are. I thank you, Lord, for providing a way for us to be adopted into your family. Father, for those that don't know you in a pardon of their sin, Father, we know that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So, Father God, we know that we all need salvation. So, Father God, in the name of Jesus, for those that would like to know you, as they kind of raise their hand in the air, nobody's watching but you. Father God, we thank you. We give you praise. that they confess with their mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in their heart that you raised your son from the dead, then they will be saved. And Father God, they'll tell somebody. And when they tell somebody, you've already written their names in the Lamb Book of Life, where no man can take it out, no eraser can erase it. It's all you. We thank you, Father God. I thank you for this word that you've given. And Father God, may we take heed to this word and give you praise for being our adopted parent. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.